Hey, welcome back. It's hour number three, Monday, 11:07 on the Big 550 KTRS. Every Monday we check in with Dick Weiss, media critic, and who would have thought when we started this? Have you been here a year yet?
I think I started in February.
Okay, so we're coming up on a
year. Yeah, getting there.
Who would have thought that we both kind of said, well, we'll see how it goes, and if we run out of things to talk about, we'll just cancel you every once in a while. But now, I mean, the media's in the news every single day,
all right.
Seems like.
And our ratings are soaring, aren't they?
Ratings are through the roof.
Yeah.
Still no sponsor, though. Dick Weiss is our guest. He's here every Monday. He's our media critic. He spent 30 years at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 20 of them, as the editor of the Metro section. He has a website, weissright.com, weissright.com. And, yes, you've seen his name in that New York Times best-selling book, Jewel of St. Louis, Forest Park. How are book sales going?
Great. We were at Christopher's in Kirkwood Sunday, and we had the second most books ever sold at Christopher's. Second most.
What was the first most?
Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa. Some rarefied air.
I will say that Tony sold several hundred more books than I did, and he had Bob Costas there. And
you only had you and your wife, so that's not bad.
And my mom.
And your mom.
Well, Helen's an institution.
And she was responsible for approximately a third of the sale.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I walked in to buy a book, and they said some woman named Helen Weiss came in and bought them all before I got there.
Right.
Any book signings we should know about between now and Christmas?
Well, I don't think so. I think we're done for the season, but you can get them online at stltoday.com at the Post-Dispatch store.
And it's
bookstores everywhere.
It's a coffee table book about Forest Park and some great pictures. You and your wife went through all the archive pictures and did a little research, so it's a nice book. The book is called The Jewel of St. Louis, Forest Park. Dick Weiss, the author, along with his wife, Sally. All right. So last week, the story of the week was this steroid controversy and the fact that some names leaked out, some media outlets reported names, nefarious, that ended up not being on the list. But you bring up a point that I don't think others are bringing up, a bigger problem with the media.
Yes, it was a shame that Fox in particular sort of blasted the news prematurely that Albert Pujols was on the list, and it turned out that a couple hours later he wasn't.
Right.
Bad. However, the flip side of that is that there was a story here in St. Louis staring us in the face for several years in the media, and I cast the blame widely, including myself. You know, Mark McGwire was hitting home runs, and he was getting bigger and bigger in terms of his size. And nobody in the media asked the impertinent question, like, where's this coming from, and casting some doubt or at least skepticism about his accomplishments. And it took several years before some reporters in San Francisco began to ask the same sorts of questions about Barry Bonds, and they got into the story, they dug into it. And that's partly why baseball got around to trying to clean up its act.
I was watching Bob Costas' show on HBO, this season-end deal. And he had Charles Barkley on, and he had John McEnroe on in the roundtable. And they were sort of getting on Costas, saying, hey, you know, how come no one talked about this before? How come this was all going on in the 80s and the 90s, and no one ever talked about it? But take Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens' name was whispered everywhere about taking steroids. What is a reporter to do? To go on the air and say, you know, rumors are flying around that Roger Clemens is taking steroids. You can't go on the air unless you've got some facts to back it up. And not that I'm trying to stick up for the St. Louis media, but Andrew Steen Dione was in the news then, and you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You ask the question and answer it, and unless you have some type of evidence, somebody coming out and admitting it, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what you do, I think, is put time against it, and you don't go out. You don't float rumors. You don't talk about whether, you know, the suspicion that Mark McGwire may or may not be doing that. But what the guys in San Francisco did is that they were, I'll use a journalistic term, detached from their regular assignments, to go out and research and interview and dig up and connect the dots. And that's a combination of documents, interviewing people, shoe leather reporting, knocking on doors, and talking to people. You have to have some luck. But I'll tell you about the circumstance that I was familiar with at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I don't think reporters were really detached to go do that kind of work. And the Post-Dispatch, for many years, has been behind stories like these. They've been reported elsewhere. There was the case of the Mizzou basketball player with the funny...
Ricky Clemens.
Ricky Clemens. Post-Dispatch was behind on that. And I don't think the paper really got its act together and said, this is a big story. We need to do more than simply comment on it, as Bernie Miklas did. Bernie
right.
writes a lot of interesting opinions, but he wasn't doing the kind of reporting that
well,
it really takes.
Yeah, but Bernie's a columnist. Bernie's
Right, he's an opinion meister.
Right.
But it isn't that they also couldn't take somebody like Bernie and say, hey, don't write 3-4 columns a week. For a while, go do this. If he's got the sources,
right.
There are others at the paper who could have done it as well. And I think the paper, the Post-Dispatch, and every other media outlet in town really let down their guard and their skepticism on this particular story.
However, the game of shadows, the people who wrote that, the journalists from the San Francisco Chronicle, they had a grand jury to start with.
Right.
There was no grand jury impaneled. There was no Dowd report or Mitchell report in the 80s and the 90s who you could go talk to some clubhouse trainer. There was no Jose Canseco. It was around, but there was nobody I was talking. So what can you do?
Right. And I would say that would be a great excuse if I knew that my newspaper had put the time against it to try.
Right.
And I don't think they did. I would fault them on that.
Yeah, so you're saying it was right under our nose for years, and we never did anything about
it. Right. And, you know, as Brian Burwell was not here at that time when McGuire was hitting his home runs. Brian is pretty good at asking the impertinent question, and I think far more skeptical than others have been. And it would have been interesting if he had been there back then to see what he would have done, because I admire his work.
On the outside, looking in 1998... That Andro story, that was just a, hey, what's this bottle in your locker? And wasn't the reporter reprimanded for going through his locker?
Anybody was like going through his locker. They were staring into his locker because it was behind him as he's doing his interviews,
right.
As I recall.
Right.
And but I think that was a little bit of, that was the moment. And I remember the particular columns, but I just remember a lot of talk about how there were outside journalists, out-of-town journalists, who were raising a little bit of a stink about that, and the in-town journalists were really defending Mark McGuire.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a conflict of interest because it was important for the journalists here to maintain access to Mark McGuire as he's about to set the all-time home run record.
Right.
So they're not going to want to... tick him off, and I think that had something to do with the lack of skepticism that abounded at that time.
Let me ask you this question. I don't know if you know this, but when McGuire hit 60 and 61 and 62 and 70, did the St. Louis Post-Dispatch sell out of newspapers?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Lines out the door and around the block. It was almost as good as Millionaire Money.
All right. Tell us about Carolyn Washburn of the Des Moines Register.
Well, Carolyn Washburn is until last week was just an anonymous editor at a mid-sized daily in Iowa, and suddenly she has become everybody's nurse ratchet. And she was the moderator for the last two Iowa debates. And it wouldn't have been so bad if Carolyn Washburn were moderating it, at a debate back in October, but this was the last shot for people to take a look at the Republicans and the Democrats together, and Carolyn Washburn runs a debate in school marm style, and it was so bad, so bad, that Charles Krauthammer says, and I quote, "That was not just the worst debate of 2007, that was the worst debate in Western history, and that includes the ancient Greeks. It was an astonishment." And I'll tell you why it resonates with me. I don't know if you saw the debate or
did not see
the listeners did, but I have looked into the cold, dead eyes of editors like Carolyn Washburn.
Uh-huh.
And it is just not a pleasant experience. And so I was grateful in some way that the rest of America could see what that was like.
Because she was so bad?
She was bad, and she was kind of mean. There was a moment in the debate when Fred, she said, let's everybody show a hands if you believe that global warming's a major problem. And Fred Thompson says, I'm not doing the show of hands things. Can I have a minute to explain my position? And Carolyn Washburn says, no.
So what you're saying
and
is...
And then Fred Thompson, in his greatest moment in the political campaign, says, then I'm not raising my hand. So and I was transported back to the first grade.
So what you're saying is, you're saying that the world got a glimpse of what newspaper editors are truly like.
Yes, and you walk into the office of an editor like that with an idea, and you say, I've got this terrific idea, and they stare at you balefully because you are interrupting their day, and would you like to hear it? No. You know, or the first question is, how much will it cost?
Right.
How
right.
much time will it take?
So what you're saying is, it would be like if a radio program director was running a national debate and the world got to see a glimpse of what we got to see every day.
Yes. Well, we don't know. That's not true here at KTRS because all the program directors are really...
Right. All the other radio
yes,
stations
right,
are working.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
all the other program directors.
Make, yes.
Right, right.
I wanted to save your job.
All right. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, there's a terrific piece in the San Francisco Chronicle. A 10-year-old boy, 25 years ago, is riding a private plane with his parents. The plane crashes in Northern California in a snowstorm, and the parents die, and the boy survives. And he survives on that plane without rescue for 5 days, sucking on snow to stay alive.
And
he's 10 years old, right. And he's finally rescued. It's a big deal, big story back then. Well, after he's rescued, he loses both his legs, and he has artificial legs. 25, 26 years later, he ascends the mountain where the plane had crashed with the people who rescued him to put his demons to rest. And it's a very interesting story.
With his artificial legs, he climbs
with
the mountain.
With his artificial legs, and it was not an easy climb. It's something like it's 2.5 times as hard for people on artificial legs to do
sure
anything.
Sure.
And he's climbing a mountain.
Wow.
Terrific piece.
And that story was originally in the San Francisco Chronicle?
San Francisco Chronicle, and the link to that is on weissright.com.
There you go. Another great story. All right. Weissright.com. Weissright.com. Dick Weiss, our media critic, every Monday here on the Big 550 KTRS. Next Monday, I'm off. So I don't know who's filling in for me.
Okay.
So go easy on him, whoever it is. Dick Weiss, we'll talk to you next Monday, 11:21 here, Big 550 KTRS.